Amen. I see the glory of the Lord descending in this place to bless us one more time. I see the glory of the Lord descending in this place to bless us one more time. I see, the glory of the Lord descending in this place. Oh yes, to bless us one more time. I see the glory. Father eternal, thank you for opening the heavens. Thank you for opening our eyes to see. Please help us to catch a glimpse of that which you have settled in heaven concerning us tonight. Let our eyes behold it. Cause us to be able to see the invisible. Thank you for what you have already finished. And thank you for what you are handing over tonight. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. God said something to Abraham after Lot had left him. He said, look to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, to the extent that you can see, said, I give to you. Elijah said something to Elisha. He said, ask what I should give you before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I want double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, what you ask is a hard thing. If you can see me, if you are still here to see, when I'm taken up, you will have what you are asking. I pray tonight that God will open our eyes to see what he has already settled concerning us in the name of Jesus. That the glory that is meant for us, that is still in the heavenlies, that glory will be made manifest even here on earth in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for what you are going to do. Open the eyes of our understanding. Let there be an enlightenment even in our eyes, even this night, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for what you have already settled. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Please be seated. The Lord bless you. Amen. I'd like you to please celebrate the set man and woman in the house. Pastor Emmanuel, Pastor Tokwe, the Lord bless you. Amen. Thank you for asking us to be part of NICOS this year. And without any doubt, I'm very convinced that new things God will do in our midst in the name of Jesus. I'll be talking tonight on what I simply titled The Keys of the Kingdom of Heaven. The Keys of the Kingdom of Heaven. And you will see there that the keys is plural. It means there are many keys. Keys of the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 16, when you read in verse 17 to 19. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We're going to come to that scripture shortly. But the theme for this year's Nikos is as it is in heaven. In Matthew, when you read in chapter 6, in verse 9 and 10, they pray this way: after this manner, therefore pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. I want you to please understand that it is not on earth as it is in heaven, except we pray. He said, this is the manner by which you should pray. When you want what is in heaven to happen on earth, then you must pray. We must pray for his will to be done on earth. It is not automatic. It's not by you coming to church that makes the will of heaven to be done on earth. It's by you praying it down. And I believe God with somebody tonight that heaven is coming to earth for you in the name of Jesus. So in the scripture we were reading earlier in Matthew 16, if you read it in verse 19 in the NIV version, he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And in the NIV version, there is a little explanation to that scripture. It said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be or will have been bound in heaven. Actually, the Amplified says it better and clearly. The Amplified version says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. When you are binding something, you are declaring it unlawful. When you are losing something, you are declaring it lawful. But the Bible says before you declare it lawful or unlawful on earth, it must have been done in heaven. And so anything that we want done on earth takes its root from heaven. We often think it's the earthly that is moving the heavenly to work. And so sometimes people will say, I'm going to move heaven to do this for me. But it's your access to heaven that gives you the controlling influence on earth. If you don't have access to heaven, then you don't have controlling influence on earth. You will just be ordinary. And so everyone that wants to be extraordinary on earth looks for access to heaven, including the demonic people. They look for access to the realm of heaven where the devil is in control. And I know that's not the part you want to talk about tonight. But we really can't complete this assignment without talking about it. And so everyone that wants to be extraordinary, to have a controlling influence here on earth, must have heaven in their support. Heaven remains the controlling power of the earth. There is nothing a man has that he has not been given from above. Is that not what the scripture says? John chapter 3, when you read in verse 27. In James chapter 1, in verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. I pray for somebody tonight, your glory that has been kept in the heavens, and you'll be wondering when will it manifest. May you be given access today to that glory in the name of Jesus. Look at what Jesus said in the book of John chapter 5, between verse 19 and verse 20. He said, the Son cannot do anything of himself. Jesus said, the Son, that is himself, can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. That's why I prayed that prayer earlier, that may God open our eyes to see what has been settled in heaven concerning us.
If you can't see it, you can't bring it down. In fact, because you can't see it, you are even ignorant of who you are supposed to be. And you don't even know where to start praying it down or calling it out. The day God gives you a glimpse of who you ought to be on earth, your prayer will be different. You will start praying it out. I pray tonight by the mercies of the living God, every glory in heaven meant for you, meant for me, that has not yet manifested here on earth, I pray tonight that heaven bring it down in the name of Jesus. In the book of Jeremiah, when you read in chapter 1 from verse 4, Bible says, God said to Jeremiah that the word of the Lord came to him in verse 4 and said to him, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. So in the heavens for Jeremiah, this guy is a prophet. Jeremiah didn't know what heaven has settled concerning him. And Jeremiah said, I cannot speak, I'm a little child. And the Lord said to him, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to them that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand, touched his mouth, and the Lord said unto him, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And the next sentence, verse 10, he says, see. Can somebody say, see? Say it again. Say it very loud. Say to your neighbor, see. And so heaven had to bring a picture of what had been settled concerning Jeremiah in heaven and say, see, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. People of God, before that moment, Jeremiah did not know what heaven had called him to be. Heaven said he's a prophet to the nations. Heaven said, this day I have set you over nations, over kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to build. Do you know the next thing that happened in verse 11 was that God now said to Jeremiah that gave him a vision. And in that vision, there was an almond tree bearing fruit. And he said, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see an almond tree bearing fruit. And God said, yes, I will now esteem my word to perform it. The day you begin to see correctly, begin to see the glory that God has for you in heaven, from that day, there will be an esteeming of the word of God concerning you to performance. I don't know who God has sent me to in Chicago this night. I announce to you, the day to perform what is written concerning you has come. In the name of Jesus. That which ever opens your eyes to see tonight, there shall be a manifestation. There shall be a performance. In the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say better amen. And so I'm praying intensely and I'm asking God that he will open our eyes, every one of us, to see that glory that he has for us. When you read in the book of Isaiah, the Bible tells us in Isaiah in chapter 6, right from verse 1, the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the glory of God in the heavens. And the moment Isaiah saw that glory of God, he said, woe unto me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people that are unclean. People of God, the moment you see a glimpse of the glory of heaven that is meant for you, you begin to see your inadequacies. You begin to see where you are not measuring up. You begin to see what is not going to allow you to get to that level. I pray tonight by the mercy of the living God, everything that will not allow that which heaven has settled concerning you to manifest fully in your lifetime, I pray that heaven will separate you from those things. In the name of Jesus. And then you know what God did? He took fire from the fireplace, put it in the mouth of Isaiah, cleaned out his mouth, and he said, your sins are purged. And the very next statement, heaven said, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. The new mandate Isaiah had after that day was a mandate that was bigger and mightier than the one he had been running with. There is somebody hearing me. You've been running for God. You've been doing something for God. But after this NICOS, this year's edition, the way you start operating for the Most High will be at a higher dimension, at a higher level of glory. You will suddenly realize you are not the same person anymore. Something mighty will happen in your life. If you believe it, say a better amen. So God is opening somebody's eyes tonight. And that eyes will begin to see great and mighty things. We're talking about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. There are three heavens. And I'm sure many of you already understand that. But let's just review it. There's what we call the third heaven. When you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, between verse 2 and verse 4, Paul said, I know a man who was caught up to the third heaven, and he heard mysteries, things that the mouth cannot say. And so the third heaven, I want to let you know, is the seat of God, the throne of God. That's the place where you can hear God. That's the God's heaven. And then there's also the first heaven. The first heaven is the heaven of the stars, the moon and the stars. In Genesis chapter 1, when you read in verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for season, for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Science cannot go beyond the first heavens. But in between the first heaven and the third heaven, there is a second heaven. The second heaven is the habitation of cruelty. The second heaven is the heaven of wickedness. The second heaven is the heaven where the Bible says there are spiritual wickedness. In where? In heavenly places. When you read your Bible in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, in verse 12, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. By the mercies of the living God, every form of wickedness that will not allow that which is yours in heaven to come down to this earth for manifestation, God is giving us victory over them in the name of Jesus. Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. He said, this is the victory that does what? That overcometh the world. Even our what? Our faith. This is NICOS. It is a place for victory. I said to somebody that the victory is coming to you. Anything holding your heavens, holding your blessings, those things are giving way in the name of Jesus. Please understand something. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Many of us are struggling for things that are earthly, that are not even in the agenda of God for us, and we are not even pursuing that which is heavenly, that is in the agenda of God for us. Instead of wrestling with men to get that appointment, to get that seat, to get that job, to get that assignment, to get that mandate, to get that money, or get that opportunity, why not wrestle with the heavenlies? Bible says we wrestle not against what? But against what? Principalities, against powers. For what your blessing in the third heaven is, that it for it to come down to where you are, you must defeat the powers that resides in the second heavens. And I believe there's somebody here today that the keys you need to be able to pray and break through, heaven will release to you tonight in the name of Jesus. Did you come to church tonight? Can your amen be louder than that of your neighbor? Now, the same way you have spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, there's also what we call blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. There are spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. There are also spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Where? in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to please know that every time you find, anywhere you find honeycomb, you will find the bees that are guarding it. Anytime you find somewhere that there are treasures, there will always be something that is surrounding the treasure to make sure that it's not easy to approach or easy to take away from. And so for you to get even the treasures of heaven that is meant for you, you must deal with the spiritual wickedness that is in the second heaven that is not allowing people to get to the third heaven. Everything that is distracting you, everything that will not allow you to get those heavenly blessings meant for you, I pray tonight that those things will be taken out of your way in the name of Jesus. When you read that Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 in the Amplified Version, he said, may blessings, praise, laudation and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit blessings in the heavenly realm. The Bible tells us, when you read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, in verse 9, he said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. He said he reveals it to them. By who? By his Spirit. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to see what God has prepared for you in the heavens, to see what God has settled for you already, to see what is meant for you. It is when your eyes open to these things that your attitude to get it will change. Your prayer life will be different. The way you pursue it will be different. You will pursue it with great zeal, determined that which is in the heavens will come into your hand. Now, keys are symbols of authority. Keys are what? Symbols of authority. Number one, these keys are to help you exert heaven's authority. Where? Here on earth. And so when God is giving you a key, it's to enable you to say that you can exert the authority of God here on earth. The Bible says in Psalm 119 in verse 89, Psalm 119 in verse 89, it says, forever thy word is settled. Where? In heaven. The word of God is settled. Where? In heaven. And so when you want to exercise authority here on earth, you look for the word of God that has been settled in the heavens. The Bible tells us again in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 in verse 4, he said, wherever the word of the king is, there's power. There's power. I want you to also know from the book of Psalm 103, when you read in verse 20, the Bible says the angel of the Lord that excel in strength, he says they hearken to the voice of his word, the voice of his command. And so if you come speaking your word, angels may not hearken to you. But if the word that you are speaking is the one settled in heaven, angels go into action immediately. Oh, there are angels that are ascending and descending, and they're hearken only to the voice of his word. Not the voice of your word, but the voice of the word of God. The moment you begin to speak that word, child of God, angels will go into action to bring it to happen. I pray tonight that the key of his word, the authority of heaven exerting on earth, may that key be released to you. So if anybody wants to get something in the heavenlies that has been packaged for you, start from his word. Start from where? The word of God. If you don't have his word, several years ago, almost close to 30 years now, I was asking the Lord, I want to get married. Give me a wife. And after I troubled the Lord in prayer for a while, one day I heard him clearly, talk to me no more about this matter. You don't know my word enough. And I'm not asking to be a pastor. I'm asking to marry. What has knowing his word got to do with marriage? Now, I was diligent in the church. At that time, I was an usher. I was in the prayer band. I was hardworking. I was in the media unit, helping to do things. So for a Christian, you will say this is a good Christian. Yet, the response I got from God was, "You don't know my word enough. Talk to me no more about this matter." So I decided to start studying the word. I put in 3 hours every night. I was working, but I took a decision, a commitment. 3 hours every night. I'll come back from work, lock myself up, sleep very early, and wake up maybe around 1, 2 a.m. in the night. And then I will study the word for 3 hours. And I just told myself, that was how I went through college. And I did very well in college. If I paid this price to get to know what men wrote, then I better pay the price to know what God wrote. It's 6 months after, the Lord brought my wife. I was still in Nigeria. I was still an usher. I was standing like this gentleman is standing. And that sister came to church for the first time and came through the door. So it's very good to be an usher. Because every other person, they were looking at the pastor. The usher was backing the pastor, and I was looking at the door. So while this sister came in, I was the first person to sight her. I just want you to know something, that if God gives you a key and you begin to use that key, He knows how to bring all that you need. I pray tonight that all that is yours in the Lord, may they be released to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, I say, may they be released to you in the name of Jesus. That which is yours that has not yet come to you, heaven will gather them in the mighty name of Jesus. I say, let heaven gather them to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now I'm going to show you a scripture that it was later on I found that scripture and I said, this is exactly what God was doing for me. Isaiah 34, the Bible says, when you read in verse 16, it says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want a mate. For my mouth is as commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them." All I did to make my wife come into that church was study the word. That was all I did. Studied the word for about 6 months. I didn't know how long God wanted me to do, but I just kept studying. I noticed that by about 6 months after that happened, I later saw that scripture. He says, "Search through the book and read." He said, "Not one of these shall fail. No one will lack a mate. My mouth has commanded it. My spirit will gather." When you spend time studying the word, what is meant to be yours in the heavenly places, by the Spirit of the Lord, will gather to you. Oh, I was in Nigeria. This lady woke up one morning and just said to her friends, "I'm leaving America. I'm going back to Nigeria." And they told her, "Are you normal? Is something wrong with you?" Something was not wrong with her, but somebody is studying the word in Nigeria. She came back to Nigeria and she was looking for where to do her youth service. And then the youth service program posted her to the city where our church was. I was still studying the word. And then she was looking for a church to go, and she somehow found herself for the first time coming to our church. There is somebody hearing me. The key of the word will make the Spirit of God to gather your blessings in heavenly places. cease to you in the name of Jesus. As you apply that key, may that which is yours in evil places begin to locate you, begin to knock on your door in the name of Jesus. I told somebody somewhere, the Bible says goodness and mercy shall do what? Now, it's not you running after goodness and mercy. It's goodness and mercy doing what? The Bible said, this sign shall follow them in my name. They'll cast out them. Now, it's not you running after signs and wonders. It is signs and wonders doing what? Following you. I believe the moment you begin to apply the right keys, your own signs and wonders will start following you. Everywhere you go, miracles. Everywhere you turn, wonders. In the name of Jesus. If you agree, let your amen be louder. Thank you. Now, keys, apart from it being authority for you to exert authority on earth, keys are needed to bring down blessings that are held captive by spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. There are things that are held captive in heavenly places. And God said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You need to use it to be able to deal with those spiritual wickedness. In Daniel chapter 10, when you read in verse 11 to 13, the Bible tells us the story of how Daniel was praying and fasting for 21 days. And the angel of the Lord that was asked to go and deliver the message or the answer to Daniel, the angel of the Lord said that from the first day, Daniel, that you have been praying, have been sent to come and deliver this message to you. But the prince of Persia withstood me for these 21 days that I've been able to come. I've been unable to come. Until Michael, the archangel, came to my rescue. Can I come down one moment? I want you to please understand something. That spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers, territorial spirits, they are just telling us of the hierarchy in the kingdom of darkness. Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against thrones, then against the rulers of the darkness of this world, then against the spiritual wickedness. Where? In heavenly places. And then this angel was saying to Daniel that from the day that you have been praying, I've been released to come, but there is a territorial spirit, a principality, a prince over Persia. Persia was the country. And that prince withstood me, did not allow me to come down. Until your prince, that was what the angel said, your prince, your angel, Michael, came to my rescue. He said, now I'm able to deliver. Now, I don't know the princes over Chicago, the princes over America that had withheld your blessings, withheld your answers. And the angel that is meant to deliver is in captivity. I pray tonight that that angel will be released. What I'm talking about may sound like mystery to some people. Sound like, is it real? What's he talking about? Now, angels have hierarchy. Now, when the devil fell in the heavens, he was cast to the earth. And when with one third of the heavens, he was cast to the earth. And though he has been cast to the earth, and he has lost his position in heaven, but angels in heaven still recognize that hierarchy. And so before you can deal with a higher demon, you need a higher angel to fight that demon. So that angel couldn't confront that demon or that principality or that prince of Persia until Michael, the archangel, came to his rescue. I'll tell you another story. In Revelations in chapter 12, the Bible says that there was a wonder in heaven, a woman about to deliver a child. And then there was another wonder in heaven. There was that in heaven, the devil beside the dragon, saying that as soon as that child is born, we will devour it. Then Michael rose up again, the same Michael, and wrestled with this demon, or with this angel, the dragon, and they cast that dragon to the earth. And the Bible says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has come into their midst. But the Bible went on in verse 11. He said, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I'm going somewhere. Now wait. When Daniel's prayer was hindered, there was no blood of the Lamb. So the only way by which Daniel's prayer could get answer was for Michael to come to the rescue of that angel. When there was war in heaven and Michael cast the dragon down to the earth, there was no blood of the Lamb yet. And so the dragon was cast to the earth, and heaven said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. I'm not part of them. There's no woe to me. I'm saying to somebody, the Bible says the inhabitants of the earth can now overcome that devil that has been cast to the earth. They can overcome that principality. They can overcome that prince of Persia. They can overcome that territorial spirit, because there is now a blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's not only the blood that they use in overcoming, and also the word of their testimony. I am saying to somebody today, by the reason of the blood, you are an overcomer. Oh my God. I said, by the reason of the blood, you are an overcomer. Now, Holy Spirit, help us. Now, to show to you, the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. Now, what you see in the New Testament, you will always find a type in the Old Testament, a shadow of it. And so, when Pharaoh held Israel in captivity, God came to Moses and said to him in Exodus in chapter 7 and chapter 8, after they had done the miracle of turning a rod into serpent, and the serpent the rod of Moses swallowed the rod of the magicians. The Bible says the following morning, when Pharaoh was going to the sea or to the river, God woke Moses up and said, go to the sea before Pharaoh gets there. And the question I ask, O King Pharaoh, are you going to have a shower at the sea or a bath at the sea so early in the morning? The Bible says, there is a Pharaoh that sits on the throne, and there is a Pharaoh that is the dragon in the river. And when Pharaoh was going to the river, he was actually going there to consult the dragon in the river. And God said to Moses, before he gets there, intercept him. And by the time Moses intercepted him, Moses said, if you will not let Israel go, I will turn this water to blood. And the Bible says, with just one pointing of Moses' finger, the river was turned to blood. The question you ask is, why was the water turned to blood? What will be used to overcome the dragon, to overcome principalities, to overcome territorial spirit, at the end of time, will be the blood. There is somebody hearing me. Everything that had held on to your blessing, in the city where you are, in the land where you are, in the family you belong to, by the reason of the blood, we release those things to you. When Moses was going to finally succeed and prevail over Pharaoh, what did he use? The blood. God said to him, he said, this day, today, God was saying to Moses, he said, this day, something is going to happen in the land. It shall be the beginning of months unto you. And he said, kill a lamb, take the blood of the lamb, put it upon the lintels of the house. He said, wherever I see the blood, I will pass over. I will bring death into the camp of Pharaoh, and I'm bringing Israel out. I am saying to somebody, your angels of blessing will be delivered by blood. Your miracles will be delivered by blood. You yourself will be delivered by the blood. By the blood of Jesus, I say, receive deliverance. How I wish the church today know the power of the blood of Jesus. That when you are binding a thing, you are declaring it unlawful. When you are losing it, you are declaring it lawful. When you are pleading the blood, is asking the blood to act as an instrument of mercy. And when you are using the blood as a weapon, that time you are not pleading it. That time you are using the blood to say it's an offensive weapon to deal with the enemy. I want you to stand on your feet for 1 minute. Just for 1 minute. For 1 minute. And I'm praying that you will please understand that as you release the blood to fight for you, that blood will deal with whatsoever has held onto your blessing, whatsoever has kept your blessing, whatsoever has not allowed your miracle to come down. Please listen. Please listen. Maybe this will help you to understand what I'm talking about. When I first came to America, that was about 14 years ago, the church where we were, we lost our place of worship. We had to go and start moving from one hall to the other almost every day. And then one night I had a revelation, and I saw myself in a car. I wasn't driving at that time, so somebody was driving me in that revelation, and I was in the front. And we move on this road, and we get to a junction, and there will be this big giant. It looked like King Kong. How many of you have watched that movie? Stand right in front of us. So I told the person driving me, can you turn and go and take the next street? And right by the time we got to the other junction, that big King Kong will have moved and he'll block us again. He said, what is this? And I woke up, and the Lord said, you can't succeed in this city except you overcome him. That was a Saturday night into a Sunday morning. I prayed all night, got to church Sunday morning, and I got my ministers as before service, and I shared that revelation to them. I said, as 2-3 of them said, we've seen that type of revelation before. I said, you've seen it, you didn't tell me. We began to pray fiercely. We prayed into the service, got the whole church to pray. People of God, that month, the captivity of no place of worship ended. You enter a city and you think you are going to get by. You don't get by unless you deal with the principality of the city. Your heavenly blessings will be blocked. Not because heaven has not released it, but the principality of that city is saying, what heaven has for you must not come down. I pray for you tonight that what is yours in Chicago, the principality of Chicago cannot resist it. Now maybe I should make this to make it clearer. You can't remove those principalities, but you can forbid them from touching what is yours. So there's a principality over Chicago, there's a principality over New York, and so they will be blocking the blessings meant for others, but for you, your case will be different. Now, what I've tried to do tonight is to give you a key. I gave you the first key, the key of the word. The next key I'm giving you is the key of his blood. Using the blood to fight principalities. And say, what is mine in this land? Give it to me. That's why people will keep relocating. They will relocate from one city to the other. And they say, oh, this city is not helping me. Somebody said, the where things are happening now is in Atlanta. They will go to Atlanta. 5 years after, they will go to Dallas. And they keep moving, not knowing that the real problem is not that there's a curse on their life. is because they've not overcome the principality of the city. Are you with me? Hello, are you with me? Sit. Okay. There are some cities you get into the city and you kneel down to pray and heaven opens. You just begin to see revelations. And there are some cities you get into it and you'll be struggling to pray. You'll be struggling to pray. When you find yourself in such environment, it means that the powers of principalities in those cities where you are struggling to pray is intense, is fierce. You will need to raise an army to fight back. And I'm believing God that America will surrender to Jesus. That this land will yield to the Most High. Whatsoever the force is over the land, whatsoever is the force over Chicago, whatsoever is the force over this land, I pray that that force will be taken out. Now listen, if you pray for your heaven to open, and you pray for your heaven to open over this city, and you use the blood, if there are 200 people who pray that prayer, out of 2 million people, you see that it's so small. So what we need is to have more people who are using the blood to ask the heavens to open. It's when we are in a majority that we take over the city. So this business doesn't stop at you praying for yourself alone. It goes on that you must win souls. Am I talking to somebody? You must get more people to have this understanding. So this message is not for you to swallow it and use it for yourself. It's for you to preach it to others and say, please understand, you won't get by in this city except the city opens for you. I want you to join your hand with one person and say, Father, by the power in the blood of Jesus, whatsoever had withheld my blessings in heavenly places, give way now. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth, pray that prayer. Whatsoever is held unto my blessings, blessings that are mine in heavenly places, I command you to give way. 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 In the name of Jesus, let them give way in the name of Jesus. Blessings that are mine in heavenly places, they are giving way for me. They are giving way for me. They are giving way for me. In the name of Jesus. Lipa ye kata laboye. Orabopo ye kata. Limo sunta lababa ye kete. Orabopo ye kata labo. Ye kete lema ye kata. Let it give way. I want you to begin to apply the blood of Jesus. Begin to use the blood of Jesus. I overcome you by the blood of the Lamb. I overcome that principality. I overcome that territorial spirit. I overcome that prince. I overcome that spiritual wickedness by the blood of Jesus. I overcome you. I defeat you by the blood. I defeat you by the blood. I defeat you by the blood. By the blood that was shed at Calvary. In the name of Jesus, I take my rightful place. In this city, in the name of Jesus, my heavens are opened. In the name of Jesus, thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. The third weapon is the weapon of prayer. Daniel prayed for 21 days. In the time of Daniel, there was no blood. So all he used was what? Prayer. Prayer. Daniel, Bible says, he learned from reading the word that at 78th year, God's counsel must be made manifest. So he began to pray. And for 21 days, he was praying. When you read in the book of Luke in chapter 11, in verse 5 to 10, the Bible says that a man had a guest or had guests, visitors, who came to him at night, and then he had nothing to put on the table for them. He said, and then he goes to his friend, his neighbor, who is a friend, and knocks on the door. And he said, and the Bible says, If he knocks on the door and he says, friend, another friend of mine has come this night and I don't have anything to offer them. He said, do you think that friend will open the door to him because he's a friend? He said, no. He would rather open the door because of his importunity. The way he's knocking. The way he's knocking on that door is so disturbing that he doesn't want his children at home to be disturbed. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, what I want you to know is, friendship will give you access, but importunity will give you what you desire. Friendship will not give you what you desire. What's going to give you what you desire is your importunity in the place of prayer. Does that make sense? So there are some things, if you are not a friend of God, you won't even have access at all. So you have to be a friend of God. You have to be a child of God. You have to belong to God. But many children of God are toiling. Many children of God are suffering. All just because they pray for 5 minutes and then they are tired. They pray for one day and then they give up. But Daniel prayed for 21 days. When last did you set your eyes for a project? I said, for 21 days of fasting and prayer, I won't stop until I get what I'm looking for. So you don't get answer because you're a good child of God. In fact, it's not how holy you are that makes you get the answer. It's how disturbing you are to God. Isaiah 62, the Bible says, give God no rest. When you read in verse 7, am I communicating? Until he make you a praise on the earth. I am saying to somebody, if you give God rest, he will sleep in your boat. Oh yes. The Bible says, our God neither sleep nor slumber. But if you don't disturb him, he will sleep. And so there was a storm and they were not disturbing him. So he had a good time to sleep. But the moment they went to him, carest thou not we perish? He rose up. Did he argue with them? He rose up. God is rising up for somebody. The Lamb of God is rising up for somebody. What is meant to be yours that is not yet in your hand, he will rise up to deliver it. In the name of Jesus. So the last time I told you to join your hand with somebody, this time you are not joining your hands. Your destiny is in your own hands. You are simply going to pray. How intense you can pray will determine what you will get. Don't wait till tomorrow. Be determined that tonight is your Nikos. Tonight is your victory night. Tonight is the night you are getting your blessing. What is yours in heavenly places is entering your hand. In the name of Jesus, you have the key of the word. You have the key of his blood. You have the key of his of prayer now. Apply that key. I am getting my blessings. What is mine in heavenly places? My Lord and my God, release it to me. 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 I get my blessing tonight. I get my breakthrough tonight. I get my lifting tonight. I get what is mine tonight. In the name of Jesus. Another man will not take my place. In the name of Jesus. Oh, can your prayers be more intense? Can your prayers be fiercer than that? I'm getting what is mine. I'm getting what is mine. I'm getting it tonight. I'm getting it in the name of Jesus. Lipa ye kata la boye. Limo sonta lipa pa ye kata. Oripopo ye kete lima se kata. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please sit down. We continue. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to do what? And to destroy. You know, the unfortunate thing about blessings that are meant to be ours is that the thief steals them. When we are careless, when we don't pray true, when we don't pursue them. And I will show you biblical proof that the thief, the devil, is in the business of stealing blessings. I want you to first agree with me. I believe one or two of you will agree that the devil has never created anything. Do you agree? He has never created anything. So what the devil does is to steal what God has created for his people and now offer it as a reward to those who will worship him. Oh, is that not what the devil did when he said to Jesus in Luke chapter 4, when you read between verse 5 and 7, he said, just worship me. He said, look at this whole earth. He said, the glory and his power has been delivered into my hand. Now, well, maybe delivered, but what he did was he actually stole it from Adam and Eve. And so he was telling Jesus, one Bible version says, if you just worship me once, I will give everything to you. So the devil is in the business of going to offer what is meant for believers, for God's children, blessings in heavenly places that God has kept for us. He goes to offer it to unbelievers who worship him. And then we believers, we wonder, oh God, we are serving you. How come the unbelievers are blessed and they are prospering? They are successful in life. The reason is simple. Because you've not done the exercise of applying the keys of opening the kingdom to take what is yours. What is yours in heavenly places won't enter your hand automatically. You have to use the key. You have to pray it down. That's why the Bible says, pray that as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. If you don't pray it down, it won't come down. It's not the only way you get anything in God's kingdom is asking. You have to ask for it. And so the devil steals it, and then he's saying to the people, just worship me once. And you know, the devil said to Jesus in that Luke chapter 4, he said, you are hungry, turn stone to bread. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And then in John chapter 2, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to Jesus, they have no more wine. And Jesus said, woman, my time is not yet come. And Mary walked away and said to the disciples, whatsoever I tell you to do, do it. And she walked away. She was so sure that Jesus will do something. And Jesus told them to fetch water and fill the water pot. And he turned water to wine. And the Bible said this first miracle did Jesus in Galilee first. And it was the beginning of miracles for him. And my question now is, when you were asked to turn stone to bread, what's the difference between turning stone to bread and turning water to wine? They are both miracles of food. But there's a difference. Turning stone to bread will have been providing food only for Jesus. Turning water to wine was not to provide for himself, but provide for others. When the reason why you are looking for a miracle or looking for a divine intervention is selfish, it's just about yourself, the devil has you for dinner. But when you are looking for something, the power of God, I'm talking about the power now, that you're not looking for power just for self-glory. You are looking for power because you want to be a blessing to humanity, then you just escape the bullet. Make sense? And so, you see, motive is more important than what we do. Why you do something is more important than what. God is looking at the motive. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at, why are you fasting? Why are you praying? Why are you going to church? Why are you giving that gift? What? Why are you doing this? If the motive is wrong, then the whole thing is bad. It's terrible. Now let's go on. So Jesus decided that he was not going to fall into that trap. And when the devil said, worship me, he said, only the Lord thy God thou shalt worship. Are you with me? And some people will be wondering, what other example do I have? When you read in the book of Esther, in chapter 2, the Bible says that King Ahasuerus was going to, or somehow he survived a coup attempt. There were two people or two guys who had decided to plan a coup, Bigthana and Teresh. And the Bible says Mordecai, who was at the gate, was the one that discovered that plot for a coup and went to tell Esther so that Esther can let the king know that there is a coup. And the Bible says they found out, and they found it true, that the king will have suffered, will have been killed. And those people were wiped out. And then they wrote it in the book of remembrance, or the book of memory, in the land of Persia. And then the very next chapter, chapter 3, the Bible says, and the king decided that one man called Haman should be promoted. Who did a good thing to save the king? Mordecai. Who was promoted? Haman. And so Haman came celebrating, and everybody were bowing to him in chapter 3 of Esther. And the Bible says Mordecai refused to bow. And they went to tell Haman that this guy will not bow. He says he's a Jew, he will not bow. Now, apart from the fact that Mordecai was a Jew, who would not want to bow to any man? But I believe he was already honoring the king, but he just wouldn't bow to Haman. It's very painful if you labored in a place and somebody else was the one rewarded. Very painful. And then this Haman decided now that Mordecai will be killed, and he prepared a gallows on which Mordecai will be hung, and decided that not only will Mordecai be killed, his entire race will be wiped out. And Mordecai went to Esther, if you keep quiet, deliverance will come to us from another place, but don't even think you'll be spared in the land where you are, because you are also a Jew in the palace. Maybe you're in the realm for such a time as this. And the Bible says, Esther said to them, let all Israel pray with me 3 days, 3 nights, fasting. I will present myself before the king. If I perish, I perish. This is the conclusion of the matter. On the third day of that fast, in the book of Esther chapter 6, right from verse 1, the Bible said the king could not sleep. And the king said, bring me the book of remembrance. And they brought that book. And they found out that Mordecai did the king good, but he was not rewarded. And then they decided, what do we do? At the time that the king was looking at the book, Haman was at the door of the palace, waiting for the king's permission to kill Mordecai. He only wanted to get the king's permission to hang Mordecai on the gallows. The gallows had been prepared. If they had not done that 3-day prayer and fasting, Mordecai would have been dead. It was so timely. I don't know who Nikos is for this year. There's a prayer you are praying this week that whatsoever the enemy had planned to use to finish you, God will turn it around for your good in the name of Jesus. Do you know that day blessings that were meant for Mordecai began to come in? He was honored. He was celebrated. But the very next day, Esther went to the king. The Bible tells us Esther had a dinner with the king 2 days. And by the next, 3 days after that, the palace of the king declared a verdict. Mordecai, take the house of Haman. Haman, take the gallows of Mordecai. There is somebody hearing me. Tables are turning on your behalf. Whatsoever the enemy has stolen from you, you are collecting them back. Stand up on your feet wherever you are. Blessings that are yours that we are diverted. Blessings that are yours that we are stolen. Blessings that are yours that the enemy blocked you from getting. I pray tonight by the mercies of the living God that those blessings are locating you again in the name of Jesus. Testimonies of yours that are pending. Testimonies of yours that are hanging. Testimonies of yours that you have been wondering, when will it come to manifestation? We call them forth tonight. Wherever they have been kept in hiding, whosoever be sitting upon those testimonies, heaven is unseating them today. Heaven is unseating them tonight. Heaven is unseating them tonight. In the name of Jesus, can you begin to say, I collect back my testimony. I collect back my blessings. I collect back my miracles. I collect back my signs. I collect back my wonders. All that is meant to be mine, I collect them back. In the name of Jesus, I collect them back. In the name of Jesus, le paye ke te le mosunta la baye, ora popo ye kata. Collect them back. Collect them back. Collect back that glory. Collect back that honor. Collect back that joy. Collect back that miracle. Collect back that testimony. Collect back that breakthrough. Collect it back. Le maserebo. Lipo yekata lima sekete lema yekata labo yekete lipa ye. I'm collecting them back. I'm collecting them back. I'm collecting them back. In the mighty name of Jesus, I collect them back. They will no longer be held away from me. In the name of Jesus, tonight is my night. All that is mine in Christ Jesus, I collect them back in the mighty name of Jesus. Let them be delivered into my hands. Let them enter my hands now. Let them enter my hands now. Let them enter my hands now. Ora popo yekata limo sunta lipapa yekete. Ora popo yekata limo sekete lema yekata. Collect it back. Collect it back. Collect it back. Collect it back. Collect back that your glory. Collect back that your miracle. Collect back your babies. Collect back your children. Collect it back. Collect it back. Collect back your joy. Collect it back. Collect it back. La poshekata. Lemo sekata. Lepo shekete lemo sekata laboye. Ora popo yekata limo sunta labaye. Ora popo yekata lima yekete. Lemo sunta labaye kata lipo po yekata. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Yes. 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 You are getting it back. Now it doesn't matter. Why I shared the last thing about the devil stealing is to let you know that whatever is stolen can be restored. Whatever was diverted, God can redivert it. Oh, have you forgotten? You've forgotten the story of Solomon and how what's the name of this, of his brother Adonijah, how he had been sitting on the throne. And then the Bible says that the prophet came and said, you better go to the king and talk it to Bathsheba, the mother. And then the king decided that Solomon should be anointed to become king. And then they anointed Solomon and Adonijah was removed. And then the Bible tells us that Adonijah came back and said, he said, everybody knows that I was already king. and everybody was already in support of me being king. He said, but the table turned, and it turned back to Solomon, because it was his from the Lord. Whatsoever is yours from the Lord, that is in the hands of any man, your honor, your glory, your position, that is in the hands of any man, that table is turning again. He's turning to you again. Your blessings are turning back into your hand. Your breakthroughs are coming back to your hand. Can you pray it through? Can you ask the King of Kings? Can you talk to the King? Report the matter to the King of Kings. What is mine from the Lord? What is mine from the Lord that is now in the hands of men? I am collecting them back. I am collecting them back. What is mine from the Lord in the hands of men? I collect them back in the name of Jesus. I collect back my honor. I collect back my glory. I collect back my titles. I collect back my position. I collect back my finances. I collect back my health. I collect back my glory in the name of Jesus. I collect back my ministry. Collect it back. Whatever is yours from the Lord. Whatever is yours from the Lord. Collect it back tonight. Lipa yeka talaboye. Limo sunta laba yekete. Limama yekete. Lipo yekata. Ripopo yekete. Lima sekata. Orapopo yekata. Lipopo ye.
Ora popo yekata le mosunta la pochekete o le papa yekete le mosunta la baye ore popo yekata le mosunta la papa yekete o le papa yekete le mosunta le papa ye ora popo yekete le mosunta la baye.
Collect it, collect it, collect it, collect it. In the hand of principalities, collect it. In the hand of territorial spirits, collect it. In the hand of spiritual wickedness, in heavenly places, collect it back. Collect it, collect it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let me share this story of mine. It happened to me when I was still pastoring in Nigeria several years ago. I was just tired in my spirit. I was a pastor to just wait on God and pray for about a week. So I just called one of my ministers who was in charge of prayer, and I said, I would like you and I to pray together for this week. And so we started Sunday night. We camped in the church and we were praying together every day. We just locked ourselves up. We are praying together. So by the time we got to Saturday, I felt a release, and I said, you can go home. I too, I'll go home. And so I went back to my house. I had barely entered when somebody drove and came to the house, and he knocked the door. They opened, he came into my house, and he said, Pastor, you happen to be a member of the church. He said, Pastor, I have a gift for you. I said, where's the gift? Thought he had an envelope. He didn't have anything. He said the gift is outside. I said, why did you put it outside? Then in my mind I thought maybe it's a ram, maybe a goat or something. He couldn't bring it in. So we got outside my house and there was no gift there. He said, no, it's outside the fence. Outside the fence, why? When we got outside the fence, lo and behold, the gift was a brand new car. That's not even my story. And he said, this gift. He said, I've had this car in my compound for close to 7 or 8 months. They were auctioning cars in my office, and it was very cheap. So I bought it. I don't have need for it. I have other cars. So I just parked it. But this week, I kept hearing God every day this week. That car is for my son. Go and give it to him. He said, I couldn't resist it anymore this morning. So I just said, this voice I'm hearing, let me go and give it to him. So at that point, I was in a hurry for him to hand over the keys so that I can pray for him and he can go, because I had questions I wanted to ask God. So the questions I was going to ask God, or I asked God that day, was, Lord, I've been in need of a car. My wife and I, we were managing one car and we are struggling to survive on that one, because somehow we couldn't just make our schedules to meet. And so if we had a second one, it would have been good. Do you agree? So I said, God, how come something was meant for me since 7 months ago and it's just coming now? And God said, you never asked for it. Then I said, Lord, I still didn't ask. I have not prayed for car. I didn't ask. I didn't pray for it. And God said, this last 1 week you asked. I said, at what time? He said, each time you were praying in the spirit, you didn't know what you were praying, but you already did what you need to do. Do you know, sometimes we don't even have an idea what we ourselves need, or sometimes we are too humble to ask for some things. If I tell you now, ask for a plane, you will say, ah, Pastor, why are you asking? Why are you telling me to pray that prayer? I don't even have money for a ticket. You ask him to ask for a plane. But I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will help you to pray right. That blessings heaven has already prepared for you will not remain in somebody's garage. That wherever those blessings are, as you pray in the spirit now, that's the last key I'm giving you. That you will pray in the spirit for the next 3 minutes. 3 minutes. That all manner of prayer, the Holy Spirit will help you to pray in the spirit, so that blessings that are yours, spiritual blessings in heavenly places, will begin to locate you. Blessings that eyes have not seen, blessings that ears have not heard, blessings that have not entered into the hearts of men, may those blessings begin to locate you. Lipa yekata labo yekete ora popo yekete lebo ora popo yekata lipopo ye oli masekete lipa yekata rapopo yekete limo sunta lipapa ye limo sunta la baba yekata ora popo yekete lima sekata ora popo yekata la boye limo sunta lipapa ye lipopo yekata ora baba yekete limo sunta la baba yekata ora popo yekete limo sunta la baye repopo yekata lima sekata ora popo yekete lebo lima masekata lipopo yekete lima sekata lipopo ye ora popo yekete limo oli mama sekete lipopo ye ora popo yekata la baye limo mosunta la baye kata ora popo yekata la baye limo sunta la baba yekete lebo ye oli mama sekata ora popo yekete limo sunta la baba ye lipa yekata oli mosunta lipa baye kata ora popo yekete limo sunta lipa baye rapopo yekata limo sekete lipa baye kata li limo sunta la baba ye ora baba yekete lema limo sunta la baba yekete limo sekete rapopo yekata lipopo yekata limo sereba yekete lipa baye kata ora popo yekete lebo ora popo yekata lipopo ye lima masekete lipopo yekata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your two hands wherever you are. Lift up your two hands. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Ora popo 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 yekata. Ora popo yekata. Le masekete le po yekata. Le mosediba. In Jesus' name we pray. Just lift up those two hands. Close your eyes for a moment. Close your eyes. My prayer tonight is that from this place, your eyes will be open to see the blessings that are yours. Blessings that are yours that are not yet in your hands. May your eyes see them so that you can hunger for them. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, the hands of your people are lifted now. I'm asking that you will open their eyes. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Please open their eyes that they may see. Open their eyes to behold the glories that you have for them. Open their eyes to see the destinies that you have ordained for them. Open their eyes to see the tomorrow that you have finished already. Open their eyes to see the miracles, the testimonies, the breakthroughs that you have ordained for them. Open their eyes. 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 Behold the glory. Behold the glory. Behold the glory. Behold the glory. Behold your glory. Behold your glory. Behold your glory. Behold, behold, behold your glory. Le mayekata la bushekete. Le po yekata. I pray that even as people go to sleep tonight, their eyes will open to behold the destinies you have ordained, the blessings you have finished, the future that you have settled, in the name of Jesus. That day we thank you, that day we bless you. And as they apply these keys, may those blessings enter their hands, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. Glory be to your holy name.